need to do is visit FanDuel. Use my promo code KF.
And welcome to After Hours, Jay Binkley with the great, first time I've ever worked with one, Jacob Mustard. Man, I dig the spicy mustard, man. I'm kind of a horseradish guy, too. I tried on a new Jimmy John's sandwich, right? They put the horseradish on it. Good stuff. Jason here, too, as well. Part of the Buffalo Wild Wings crew on the Fans Football Show this past fall, and that was a lot of fun. Gardner Minshew's now chief, man. Gardner Minshew is now your backup for the Kansas City Chiefs. Branding means no more Carson Wentz. And, Jacob, I don't know about you, but listen, when Carson was here, I was fine with it. I've always been fine with Blaine Gabbert or Chet Henne or anybody because you're not expecting them to play much. But it's that experience that Andy Reid covets. It's that experience like Chet Henne when he had to go 98 yards against the Browns to get points. Like, you don't want a quarterback that's going to wet their pants. You want a quarterback, despite success or failures, you want a quarterback that's been there and done that. They don't want to mess around with rookies. Again, it's not their job. Like Shane Buechel when he was here. It's not their job to groom a quarterback that's going to end up with somebody else. But Gardner Minshew, now a Kansas City Chief. Carson Wentz had his chance, but he kind of blew it against Denver.
Yeah, it wasn't the best performance. No. But, you know, at the end of the day, like you're saying, you want a veteran backup quarterback. It's why you kind of – you're not trying to replace Aaron Rodgers with Jordan Love. You're not trying to – like, it's not where your quarterback's at the end of his career and you're trying to find the replacement.
It's like Gardner Minshew's going to be the dude.
Yeah, you're trying to have somebody come in for maybe a drive, or if Mahomes gets hurt and you don't want to send him out before the halftime and have him go get x-rays
like
or whatever.
A couple years ago, it was Matt Moore and Chad Henne. Remember they had those guys come in there and play for the Chiefs. But, yeah, you know, Gardner Minshew's been around the block a little bit. Again, it's about a guy that comes in. And you hope he can spell things and do some things. I'll say this. At the combine, he was like a 4.97 guy back in the day. But he ran for 344 yards his first year with Jacksonville. Like when he was a Jag, he ran for 344 yards, 5.1 per carry that first year with the Jags. But it's kind of gone down since then. Last year with the Raiders, 19 carries, 58 yards. Of course, you want him to throw the football. 3,300 is his best year in Indy 2 years ago, 15 touchdowns, 9 picks. And again, it's a guy, you know, it's been a starter. He's under 500 as a starting quarterback, but Gardner Minshew is great. I loved watching Gardner Minshew because he was at East Carolina. Then he transferred to Washington State, was there with Mike Leach, put up ridiculous numbers at Washington State. That was actually fun to watch when he was there in that air raid offense and what they were doing. But yeah, Gardner Minshew now with the Kansas City Chiefs says, free agency, for the most part, well, I can't say the Chiefs are done. I can't say the Chiefs are done with minor moves. Last couple of years, you know, people were wanting the Chiefs to go out and make moves. They couldn't wait to do it. And I'll never forget when Dusty Likens was in here with me, and he was producing, and there was no moves. And we came on to talk about, you know, no moves for the Kansas City Chiefs. And then, boom, the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Again, drafting, developing, paying players is kind of what the Chiefs' MO is. But this year there were some holes to fill, and I think it's going to help with the draft going forward as far as positions you don't necessarily need to reach on in the draft and why mock drafts continue to have Chiefs getting short-armed offensive tackles at 31 is beyond me. Jalen Moore kind of settled that for the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll get into the offensive line. Is it actually better or the same, or is it worse than what it has been in the past? We'll get into that. But to start out, every Wednesday I go on with Dustman and Fesco, and we did college football during the season. 6:45 on Wednesdays, we would do college football, and then we've kind of transcended into the NFL draft. And just kind of in passing, I said I think the draft is a top three sporting event in Kansas City. Bob agreed with it. Bob thinks, you know, that's true. I want to know what you guys think. I am curious about it because they did talk about it again today. I called in again today and we talked about the NFL draft and how important it is for the fabric, the fiber of sports in this country. And the NFL is king. I mean, I don't care where you live. People care about the National Football League. People play fantasy football all over the country. Whether you have a team or not, you still know who the players are. More people know who NFL players are than any other sport. Yeah, I've played fantasy NASCAR before. I played fantasy baseball. I've played all that. But I'm weird. I've even done fantasy fishing. Fantasy NHL, you never know. We'll do it all. But fantasy football is one of those things that people know about, and people that aren't giant NFL fans will watch it. You know, they tune into Red Zone on a Sunday and watch what's going on. No Hanson this year. It looks like that dude from Tony Reale might get the job. Hasn't got it yet, but the NFL Red Zone that you can watch on Sunday. I like watching Red Zone, but I like having it on a separate, like, vision, separate TV, computer monitor, whatever, because you do, well, at least I do. I like watching the actual games and seeing teams play and see what the strategies are instead of when they get to the red zone and inevitably will either score but probably will kick a field goal. I like to see the whole game. I like to see the whole drives. I like to see how the defense is playing as well, because in baseball, a 6-3 game or 9-3 game is like a 2-1 game or 1-0 game, which people in baseball consider that pure. That's a great defensive game, a great game pitched. But for some reason, people don't give the same respect to great defensive performances in football. But my theory was that the NFL draft is a top three sporting event in this country. I would even put it at number two, because obviously the Super Bowl is the end-all be-all. That's become kind of the quasi-national holiday where people get together with family and friends and watch, and especially in this town, because for years you had to watch the Patriots in it, but five of the last 6 years you've watched the Kansas City Chiefs. Whether win or lose, and they've won more than they've lost, 3-2 in that count last year. It was brutal. I get that. First quarter, the game was pretty much done with the Eagles, so you didn't have that same excitement that you normally do, but the team was in the Super Bowl, and for all intents and purposes, probably better than it was the year before, where the things kind of struggled. They were 9-6 on Christmas Day, right after that big, brutal Raiders loss, but found a way to go on a roll throughout the playoffs, end up beating the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Wasn't the case against the Eagles, but the draft is becoming the main thing. I think the official attendance in Detroit was somewhere over 700,000 last year at the draft. They're claiming that over 1 million people ended up coming in at some point to the NFL draft. It was a huge success in Kansas City. It was great for the economy. People staying in hotels, people, you know, buying the gas, people buying the groceries, people going to the bars, people doing everything in Kansas City was a moneymaker for the city, 100%. And when it was in Nashville, you know, they had, what, over 650,000 people. And yes, the World Cup's going to bring in a ton of people, but that's not an every year thing. And the draft does bring in a lot of people, and it's hard to think of any sport that brings in that many people to a weekend like the NFL draft. And moving the draft around like they've done in Chicago or Philly or Kansas City or in Detroit, this year it's going to be in Green Bay, which is awesome, because if a town's not going to get the Super Bowl, go ahead and have it in these cities. Now, of course, they're going to do L.A., and they're going to do Dallas. They're going to do Minnesota. They're going to do places that actually have the Super Bowl. I've always been a fan of it being in places like Cleveland, which it has been, or Cincinnati, places like that that aren't going to get the Super Bowl. Because give these other towns, you know, something to hang their hat on. But the NFL draft is something that people talk about. Am I crazy or not? I mean, that's the thing. 913-586-7965 is the phone number. It's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. You know, which direction are you going? Is this a crazy theory? Because I'll tell you this much, around NFL towns and, you know, people are talking about the draft. You know, they watch college football, they'll watch the playoffs to think about, you know, draft positioning, or even like through the season where Shedeur Sanders going to be drafted, or teams that need a quarterback, because it can change your complexion of how you feel about your team, how you feel about your town, how you feel about your state. Think about the Patrick Mahomes pick and what it's done for Kansas City. All the Super Bowls you've been able to watch with the Chiefs in it, the three Super Bowl victories he has brought to Kansas City, it was a game changer when they traded with the Buffalo Bills down the 10 to get Mahomes. But people watch the draft and they talk about the draft. Listen, I'm a huge fan of the PGA Tour. I like watching golf. Live golf, it doesn't matter. I like watching it. I love the Masters, but that's really a niche type of sporting event that you watch. And really, people in February aren't asking me how Scottie Scheffler is going to do in the Masters. But in February, people start talking about who's going to be drafted. Who's going to be that guy? Who are the Chiefs looking at to the draft? And, of course, the mock drafts have gone crazy where everybody has got a mock draft. Jacob Mustard, you probably have several mock drafts that you do. I'm just guessing, being a sports fan like you are, a former proud Oak Park Northman has mock drafts.
Oh, yeah. And especially, you know, people here know that I am sadly, well, not really. I'm proud for it, but it gets hated around here. I'm a Patriots fan. So since we have a top four pick and a top three last year, I like to do the top of the draft because we have a chance at a top prospect.
Do you have a Will Campbell, Armon Mimbu? Do you have somebody like that? The offensive line? You going offensive line with the Patriots?
It honestly depends what they do with the rest of the free agency moves because if they get a guy like Cooper Kupp, or me and my buddy were just talking about, Mekhi Becton's still out there.
He's still out there, but Cooper Kupp is interesting. He's going to be 32 years old this coming June. A guy that's really not played a ton the last 3 years, but when he does play, he does catch. He is the all-time leading receiver in yardage at any level, FCS. He played at FCS school in Eastern Washington, but he catches everything and he runs great routes.
Well, my thought process was he or even Stephon Diggs would help Drake May's development because you want him to be a good quarterback, and if he's hitting a receiver in the hands and they're dropping it or throwing a good pass and it ends up being picked off because the receiver cut the route off at the wrong time, you're not going to have those mistakes from an aged veteran wide receiver. And yes, he may have his injury concerns. We don't need him for 5 years. We need him for the next year or two to help develop. So sure, if we sign him in free agency, I think we stay away from the McMillan, or and then we could focus on the offensive line. Now, if we go Mekhi Becton and for as our last free agency move, then I think you're looking at drafting a Hunter or
you're
McMillan.
You're talking about the draft. You're talking
about the draft. Well, and so that's what I'm saying. The free agency moves kind of lead into the draft.
Free agency does. The combine does too. You know, the Senior Bowl people are looking, you know, at the prospects and stuff, and then they start getting interested in the combine. And then all of a sudden, and the thing about the NFL draft is you've seen a lot of these players. Like, people have seen these guys in the playoffs. They've seen them during the regular season. They're a lot more familiar than any other sport that tries to, you know, build up their draft because you've seen these players. You know, 256, 257 guys, depends on the comp picks every year. But that's basically the pool. Yes, there's guys that don't go to the combine that get drafted. Mike Dana was one of those for the Chiefs, didn't go to the combine, ended up being drafted. But what I'm saying is in January and February, people start talking about the draft, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at the gym. You know, that old dude coming in there and, you know, with just a towel on or naked, want to talk draft with you. You know, that happens all the time. But people talk about the draft. They're not necessarily saying, let's talk about the World Series, you know, in the offseason. Let's talk about that. No, but they're talking about the draft. And the text line, 913 says, how about the NFL draft being the biggest event because it's free? And that's
a very good point.
It's a very big thing because you can be there, part of the atmosphere. You're there with a ton of NFL fans because that's what the draft is, a bunch of NFL fans. Yeah, the local community goes to the draft quite a bit, but there's a lot of jerseys from all over the place. You went down to the Kansas City draft, you probably noticed a lot of jerseys there from all over the National Football League.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's there to support their teams, no matter what. I was wearing a Brady jersey in Kansas City.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. 913, Jay, you have a deep passion for the NFL draft more than most, but people do care about the draft. Of course they do. People care about this. Then another one says, Vern, great shoe tonight. Great show tonight. I do that all the time when I'm texting, you know, voice of text or somewhere. I'm saying shoe instead of show or something like that. But people talk about the NFL draft, and they're talking about it on the front lawn where they have a beer, when they have a lawnmower out or something. What are the Chiefs going to do for the draft? They're not going to get an offensive lineman, are they? I mean, look at free agency. It's a big deal. Remember a couple of years ago when the legal tampering period happened to happen right after the brackets were released in college basketball on Sunday? Then all of a sudden the legal tampering period began, and then like free agency in earnest started happening, and people talked about the National Football League instead of really the first round of the NCAA tournament. Now it's different because the NCAA tournament will kind of have the spotlight, you know, for the games. But when the NFL is there, the NFL dominates the discussion. It just does. But yes, being free is a big part of it because you can be part of the action. Now, second round, I think a lot of people watch. It is fun. It is interesting. Yes, I'm coming from this from a biased perspective because we do the draft podcast character concerns each and every week. But I think there's a reason to do it. I've done mock drafts ever since, you know, I was in Kansas City. Where are the Chiefs going to go? They have 8 picks now. They have 3 picks in the 7th round, which Pacheco was a 7th rounder. Jalen Watson was a 7th rounder. So the Chiefs use those picks as premium picks. They just do. They have Mr. Irrelevant this year. That's always fun. And I'll contend, and I know Brock Purdy played in the Super Bowl, but people know that he's Mr. Irrelevant more so than who won the Masters last year. Unless you're a golf fan, you say Scottie Scheffler. But again, it's a neat sport. And I don't know if people are talking about it several months out, but people talk about the draft. They talk about the National Football League. The ratings are insane. What, 93 of the top 100 programs were NFL games in this country? And 15 of them were Kansas City Chiefs. 4 of the top 5 watched television programs in this country were Kansas City Chiefs games. Love them or hate them, watching to love them or watching them to hate love them or watching them to hate, people watched the Kansas City Chiefs. They drew them in. They were interesting. People either loved to see them win or, like most of the places, they wanted to see them lose at different points. But the draft is something people do talk about, I believe, more than the other sports. Now, not saying that other sports, the biggest events aren't big, because they are. The World Series is big, but maybe you got to be a baseball fan to enjoy it. But I think a lot of people kind of get into the National Football League and the draft, and certainly they check out the picks after it's done. All right, which direction did the Chiefs go? They're getting on YouTube. They're getting on X. They're putting the clips of different picks in the 5th round or the 6th round, and you're saying diamond in the rough. Or building a team like the Chiefs have. You know, getting a Trey Smith in the 6th round, getting a Creed Humphrey in the 2nd round, guys that would clearly be first rounders if the draft is redone. Nick Bolton picked in the 2nd round. They got him in pick 58 from the Baltimore Ravens when they got Orlando Brown because they didn't have a left tackle. And the Ravens, by the way, I think learned a lesson and won't do business with the Chiefs anymore, because the rivals of the Kansas City Chiefs did build this team up with the Buffalo Bills making that trade, or when Veit schooled them to get Trent McDuffie, and they ended up with Kyir Elam, who, by the way, has already been traded outside of Buffalo at this point. He could barely get on the field, but they got in front of that, and they traded down, and Chiefs took Xavier Worthy. They ended up with Keon Coleman in the 2nd round when the Chiefs made that trade with the Buffalo Bills. But yes, I think that people do watch the draft. It is becoming a much bigger deal in this country because people start talking about it. And even, like, my aunts will call me. And, you know, they watch a lot of Kansas City Chiefs and stuff, but they're interested. Chiefs going to go offensive line. What do you think of the offensive line this year? Just questions you would never expect to get, but you get them. And I don't care if you're at the gym, the grocery store, the gas station, wherever you're at, people are curious about which direction a team's going to go, because they may have seen the combine. The ratings were off the hook for the NFL draft, at least since they've moved to primetime on Thursday nights, that first round. But I like second round as well, because everything kind of resets. Everything resets, and then you have the 3rd round on the 2nd night. Then the 3rd day is a day that you can really make hay with your football team and progress in that direction. We need to take a timeout. That will bring you some scores of the Big 12 tournament. Baylor and Texas Tech are going now. Kansas and Arizona play later tonight. But we'll get into this offensive line as well. Is it better or is it worse with free agency? We'll discuss that next. And welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. Jacob Mustard producing the operation, proud product of Oak Park and Northwest Missouri State. This is a Pitt State song, by the way. I'm a Pitt State guy, so a lot of D2 guys around here, yeah? A lot of D2 guys. Jason, you're Northwest Missouri State, too? I know Dusty went to UCM, so Division II guy as well. But we got to talk about the Big 12 tournament just a second here, because there is a game going on down at the T-Mobile Center. But the Big 12 tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Now, Score update, because there is a score update to talk about. The Big 12 scoreboard update is brought to you by Powell Exteriors for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors, kcandpowell.com. Texas Tech up on Baylor, 63-54, with about 13:28 left in the second half. Kansas and Arizona go later. And playing on that the fun court, not a fan of the court the Big 12 chose. I know it's not that big of a deal, but it looks rather distracting. It is kind of dizzying. Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, actually commented on the Big 12 court, which you can see on ESPN in earnest right now. But flip this bad boy on, because it got turned off at some point there, Jacob. We'll see what happened here, but
try again.
There we go. We're trying it again.
It's about our student athletes. You know, when I first got here, it was all about modernizing and contemporizing our brand, connecting to culture, and getting on the consciousness of current and future student athletes. And that's what we're doing. Every student athlete that walked on that court last week came up to me and said, Brett, it's fantastic. They took selfies. They loved it. Today, I got here very early. Iowa State practiced. And the entire team said, love it. Love being on there. I think it's aspirational. You know, that's our stage. And we wanted to make a profound statement. And I think we did, and I love it. And listen, in life, you know, you never get it perfectly correct. But I think the people that matter most, that are weighing in, really love it. And that's what matters to me.
Getting selfies with the court, aspirational or inspirational, whichever word Yormark learned there. I think it's dizzying. I mean, do I really care that much about the court? No. I'd rather see the product, but not a fan of the court as it is now. But Baylor and Texas Tech going now. Kansas and Arizona coming up at 8:30 tonight. These games not on ESPN Plus. They're actually on the regular ESPN. But the Chiefs, I would say free agency's over, but it's never over. As they can get some C-level type free agents at this point. Gardner Minshew brought in tonight a one-year contract that looks like the Raiders might be on the hook for majority of the contract. So the Raiders are paying him essentially to be on the Chiefs roster. Of course, they brought in Elijah Mitchell, the running back from Frisco, Jalen Moore. Is their answer for 2 years, $30 million at left tackle, although the Chiefs can bow out of that after a year. Trey Smith, of course, got the non-exclusive franchise tag. Nick Bolton brought back. I was surprised about Nick Bolton being brought back, but 3 years, $45 million contract, $30 million fully guaranteed. And it is a run stuffer. It is a guy that, you know, was important because nobody ran for 100 yards from the running back position against the Chiefs this past year. Lamar Jackson did early on. That's the Isaiah Likely foot game. Where people say the Chiefs got lucky, they still had to score a two-point conversion. Even if they call that as a touchdown, they were still going to have to do that. Christian Fulton comes over from the Chargers, 2 years, $20 million deal, primarily plays on the outside. It's going to enable Trey McDuffie to go to his natural spot in the slot for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like that signing, Matt Rize was tendered by the team as an exclusive rights free agent. And James Winchester re-signed, 1 year, $1.65 million. Can you tell me, Jacob, what is the claim to fame of one James Winchester? Long snapper trivia here. The first ever long snapper to play in five Super Bowls. He's won three of them, but he's played in five Super Bowls as a long snapper. And you know what? That's important. You get down to kicking, you got to have a nice, clean, crisp snap. And James Winchester's been that guy. There's only a few guys that have been here longer than Mahomes. He's one of them. And, of course, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce. You can make the argument that Butker has, because Mahomes was kind of redshirting that first year that Butker was brought in here. So relatively few guys have been here longer than Patrick Mahomes. They've essentially flipped this roster. But my question, though, is the offensive line, are we really excited? You doing cartwheels over the offensive line if you're a Chiefs fan? Are you really that satisfied with what the Chiefs have done on the offensive line? I mean, let's think about it. Juwan Taylor's still your right tackle. Your right guard's still Trey Smith, who had a better year statistically than a lot of people think. What, a sack and a half He gave up last year only 10 pressures. Did his job. Creed Humphrey at center. It's an all-pro center. You might say, well, why can't the Chiefs run short yardage? They should be able to. They have road graders up front, but for some reason, it's been a problem for the Chiefs on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. Right guard, you're going to be taking a hit. Joe Tooney, sorry, he's better. I mean, this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's won 4 rings, 2 with the Patriots, played in 3 Super Bowls with them. Same with the Chiefs. He's won 2 and played in 3. But the guy's a winner. Yeah, the guy was asked to play tackle, which it finally reared its ugly head when you got to the Super Bowl. His arms are about 2 inches shorter than what Andy Reid typically requires, 34 and a quarter inch arms at left tackle, 32 and a quarter inch for Joe Tooney, who's playing out of position. He's a natural guard. But if Kingsley Suamatia plays guard because the tackle experiment's over, I'm sorry, but that's a downgrade. And whoever they bring in here is not going to be A-plus quality left guard. So you did get worse at left guard. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And Jalen Moore might be fine at left tackle. He might be. You know, he brought in DJ Humphreys here as an experiment last year. 4 different left tackles started for the Chiefs last year. Kingsley didn't work out. It was Wanye Morris being the left tackle for the longest time. You know, through OTAs and boom, training camp started, then it was Kingsley. And then after a couple games, it was Wanye Morris. And then that experiment ended as well because you have to have time to throw the football because it was embarrassing that the Eagles were able to derive pressure on the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, not even blitzing, just with the front players that they had on defense getting to the quarterback. Well, Jalen Moore is still a question mark. I mean, that is a big question mark. You know, they wanted Ronnie Stanley, which I don't think the Ravens were quite entertaining that one. That's why they ponied up and paid Ronnie Stanley, who has had some injury problems. Matter of fact, that's why Orlando Brown ended up getting moved to left tackle because Ronnie Stanley had gotten hurt. But are they better on the offensive line? That's the question. Are they better? Because Jalen Moore had 5 starts last year, and he's playing behind a Hall of Famer in Trent Williams, one of the best to ever play left tackle in Frisco that the Chiefs made a play on, not this time, but the time before when they finally settled on Orlando Brown, tried to get that contract done through the middle of the night, weren't able to get Trent Williams. But is this offensive line better? Can you look at it and say, yeah, this offensive line is better? Can you get excited about this offensive line? Because a lot of it is going to hinge upon Jalen Moore. A lot of it's going to come down to your left tackle. And how good is he going to be? I mean, he's got an opportunity to do Hollywood Brown type things, but Hollywood Brown was hurt last year. It's nice to see Hollywood Brown back. Didn't think he was coming back, but I did this year. We started talking about character concerns early on because he was hurt primarily the whole year. Just ended up with 9 catches for this team because he was hurt all year. And that market wasn't going to be there because he's got Whit Merrifield-type timing as far as, you know, being 29 years old when he plays this year and, you know, the clock's ticking. And when you get to that over-the-hill point, over 30 years old, things change. But can you look at this offensive line? Does this strike fear in you at all, Jake? Because put this way, you're going to be downgraded like to left guard. You're going to be downgraded to left guard. That's inevitable.
All year I heard about how the middle of the line was amazing, you know, and you
except
had
on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. Yeah.
But you let the core go on the left side, so that becomes a little weaker. You don't have those road graders and on every side. And who knows if they may end up trading anybody or trading up in the draft. I know we kind of talked about it off air. We didn't like the tackle class, but some of those guys can be moved in to guard, kind of like Becton did this year with the Eagles. He was a left tackle. They moved him to right. They bounced him around. Sometimes guard's easier.
Yeah, remember the COVID year, the COVID draft? It was Liam Eichenberg and Sam Cosmi and all these guys and Alex Leatherwood and all these guys that were, quote, left tackles, but ended up not being left tackles, moving to guard or playing right tackle and not being true left tackles. I keep seeing these mock drafts. Yeah, you know, I keep seeing him even with Ohio State and Josh Simmons. But first of all, he's got short arms and not going to work. And two, tell me a player from Ohio State that Brett Veach has drafted. He hasn't. But it is good that I think the Chiefs brought Hollywood Brown back. I mean, that's a guy that's a free agent that you'd say, okay, they need to bring Hollywood Brown back because I didn't think he was coming back.
It was better to keep him over Hopkins for sure.
Yeah, because Hopkins kind of fell out of favor. He wasn't getting the snap count later on with the Kansas City Chiefs. But the bottom line is, you know, will they keep Hollywood Brown or past this year? Will he, you know, have one of those years where he break the bank in free agency or not? Or is that time past him? I remember Brett Veach said around the draft, not this year, but the year before, about Hollywood Brown.
You know, Hollywood situation played out the way he did, and think he's going to be a great one-year addition for us, and he's going to set himself up nicely moving forward. So I think we're excited.
See, he said it right there. He said a one-year addition, and this is before last year, to set himself up nicely because he's going to be with the Andy Reid offense, going to be with Patrick Mahomes as quarterback, and he was going to put up the numbers to go out and get a big-time free agent contract. That was what was going to happen with Hollywood Brown. But clearly things changed, and when he got hurt, I was like, Chiefs might be able to find a way to bring in Hollywood Brown cheaper and at some point get back to the St. Joe Chiefs, because the St. Joe Chiefs were fun to watch. That was a team that was going to air it out this year. Everything he saw on X was the Chiefs throwing deep to Hollywood Brown or Xavier Worthy. They were throwing the ball downfield. Mahomes was talking about it, you know, after practice, that, you know, hey, they're going to be more wide open offense. That backs the safety up. It helps your running game out when teams start respecting the down the field passing game, because I do feel that that's who and what they are and can become. Now, Rashee Rice, you know, he does a lot of the dirty work over the middle like a Travis Kelce does. Matter of fact, they run a lot of the same routes, being a wide receiver and a tight end as far as the middle of the field. But Rice, Worthy, Hollywood Brown, that's a nice connection, having those three playing at the same time. But will they? That's the question. You went in last year thinking, oh, man, it's going to be great. You have Xavier Worthy. The pressure's not going to be on him. Because Rashee Rice, who started off awesome at the beginning of the year, and then Hollywood Brown gets hurt in the first preseason game against Jacksonville, and all of a sudden you're without your number one and number two wide receiver. It can't happen. It's the National Football League. Injuries do happen and can happen. But Xavier Worthy, you know, started off slow and then, you know, gradually with the offense started picking it up and becoming a reliable player and the best player they had at the wide receiver position throughout the playoffs. Clearly put up big numbers in the Super Bowl, but again, some of those were garbage time numbers, but he was their leading receiver throughout the postseason. You can even take the Super Bowl out. He was still the leading receiver through it. But Rashee Rice, he will get suspended at some point. You think? Maybe not. I mean, if the court case goes, it could be the following year that it happens, or it could happen this year. So, boom, he's going to be out games. Then what are you going to do a wide receiver? Justin Watson's now a member of the Houston Texans. You're going to have Hollywood. You're going to have Xavier. You're going to have Rashee Rice, you hope, for the whole season, although that suspension does loom for Rashee Rice. But all healthy, yeah, I like the wide receiver core. I think they can do nice things. And then Travis Kelce didn't have that pressure on him, did have 97 catches last year. Don't think it's going to be anywhere near that this season, as Father Time does click fast on football players. But what are you going to do? I think, honestly, through the draft, they'll get wide receiver. It's not going to be the first round. I think it'd be a stretch unless a Luther Burden happens to slip to the Chiefs at 31, which he could. Luther Burden could slip. I've seen more and more. Beginning of the year, you're talking top 10 pick. Then all of a sudden, it came top 15. I felt he did have a good combine. He did make the all combine team when he played, but he's starting to slip. And it's starting to fall around where the Chiefs draft. Egbuka from Ohio State. Again, they don't draft Ohio State players typically, but if they did, he could be falling to the Chiefs. Or they can go defensive line at pick 31, which is what I would lean heavily on at this point, because that really wasn't addressed throughout free agency. Matter of fact, they lose Turk Wharton in the process. But, you know, as far as interior defensive line, you got Chris Jones still under contract, but they've got to bolster that. And the first round, I had Savon Revelle at one point, the cornerback that come out, did have an ACL last year, but is a first-round type player, unbelievable player off the edge, be a total Spags player. But they addressed corner with Fulton. You can put Trey McDuffie back in the slot, and they addressed left tackle. They've addressed cornerback. It may not be flashy or some of the guys you want. They do and will get a running back, as Elijah Mitchell was hurt basically all last year. He was hurt, didn't play, and he's been banged up most of the time. He's been banged up for what you have, But what are you going to do at the running back position? It's extremely deep in the draft. I do feel they'll draft a running back. I think it'll be earlier. It won't be in the seventh round like Isaiah Pacheco was taken. I think they'll go earlier. They do have 8 picks. 3 of those picks are in the seventh round for the Chiefs. They do have 2 third-round picks, including the second pick in the third round, pick 66. So they pick at the end of the first round, pick second to last in the second round. In the third round, they move up because of Tennessee, and they'll have the second pick in the third round. Well, they could do some damage. They've typically done damage to the draft. They've been able to build this team up through the draft. It's what they did a couple of years ago. They essentially were in a real rebuild mode. They didn't call it that, but they relied on the draft to do a lot of things. The Chiefs relied on a lot of those draft picks. They were homegrown talent in the Super Bowl last year, or getting to the Super Bowl last year. We'll see which direction they go, but I can't, you know, do cartwheels over the offensive line at this point. They still have a lot to prove. Jalen Moore has to prove himself, and he might. He might very well be the answer at left tackle. He played extremely well. Gave up 1 sack when he had played in those 5 games. Of course, they're a heavy run-dominated team in Frisco with Kyle Shanahan and that offense and what they do. And so, but can you run block? Can you do that? 3rd and 1, 4th and 1. Because remember last year, Isaiah Pacheco gets credit for running hard all the time, but except if it's 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1. And that's been harder to pick up. And then Kareem Hunt kind of became the bell cow, you know, on 4th down or 3rd down and 1. Or the Chiefs would kind of rely on him more in the second half and became more relying upon Kareem Hunt. And I think he felt more comfortable with him in the game than Isaiah Pacheco. Again, he's got these great runs, but I'm still waiting for the breakaway because they just haven't had that. And he should have that ability. He ran 4.37 at the combine. The guy was pure speed at the combine, but you're waiting to see it. You're waiting to see the breakaway type speed from Pacheco because you've seen the power except on its 3rd and 1, except on its 4th and 1. But I do feel that they'll go after the running back position hot and heavy in this draft. What would you do? 913-586-7965, the Chase Southland Tow Service text line. What would you do as far as that is concerned? Matt Miller joined Cody and Gold earlier, and he had some interesting things to say about Luther Burden as well, a direction that they could go. We'll do that, and we'll look at some of these other moves the Kansas City Chiefs have made next. Welcome back to After Hours, Jay Binkley. Jacob Mustard producing the operation. Jordan Schultz just tweeted out that despite reports connecting Cooper Kupp and the Jags, sources say Jacksonville is not in on Kupp. So Tex was also asking me, Zach was asking me, is there a why does Burden keep dropping? Do I think? Well, they're saying a lot of it is drop off from his sophomore to his junior year and what he did. I saw a lot of like injury situations with him his sophomore year, but he wasn't actually hurt, but you'd be searching like, is he hurt or not? What's going on with him? But his production did drop off some, but I really like what he brings to the table. Another text from the 913 asking me, is there a Ladd McConkey type receiver in this draft? Ladd McConkey's a special player. Played 71% in the slot last year. Xavier Restrepo out of Miami, I really like. He's their all-time leading receiver, believe it or not. They've had some good ones at Miami. But Restrepo's in the slot. He can do a lot of different things. I like Restrepo in what he can do as kind of a non-first-round type of guy. But the Big 12 tournament coverage brought 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by KRT Muscle Cream. A body in motion stays in motion with KRT Muscle Cream. 72-65 now, Texas Tech over Baylor. 4:38 left in this game in the, quote, inspirational court that they have. But yeah, as far as what you want in the slot, what type of receiver do you want, I'd build them up. And the Chiefs have, you know, they've gotten by just going 1-1 receiver in the draft. Obviously, Sky Moore still on this team, but that didn't exactly work out like they wanted it to as he regressed. Rashee Rice did work out. He was the second leading rookie wide receiver with Zay Flowers and all these other great receivers that came out. It was him that sat only behind Puka Nacua, who was the 3rd 5th-round selection of the Rams. So it's not exactly like they identified Puka is a guy to go out and get, but they got him. Give him credit. They went out and got him. But Rashee Rice finished second and all that, and Xavier Worthy turned out to be pretty good for the Kansas City Chiefs, kind of shedding those rumors just being a nine-route or vertical route type of guy. I'll remind people, he did lead Texas in yards and receptions for three straight years with the Longhorns. Three straight years means he's more than just a vertical threat. Two of those 3 years, he led the Longhorns in touchdowns. The other year, he was second, but he did lead that team in yards and receptions for three straight years. Here's what Matt Miller, NFL draft scout, who's on ESPN now, said with Codeine Gold the other day. As far as Luther Burden, he's high on Luther Burden. I, for the most part, am too. I think he can do a lot of things. It would be fun to see him with Patrick Mahomes and what he can do, but this is Matt Miller on Luther Burden and how he's higher on him than a lot of other people are.
No, I think those people are all crazy. I don't know what they're watching. And I say that jokingly because I work with two guys who've done that recently, and I love them. But I don't see it happening. And maybe I'm crazy. I actually think we should draft guys who are good at playing football. And for the past 3 years, that's been Luther Burden. And then everybody's like, oh, well, we don't know how fast he is. So what does he do? He goes to the combine and he reminds you how fast he is. And it's like, okay, I know that he's kind of an introvert. He's kind of a quiet guy. That kind of maybe rubs some people the wrong way. But like, this dude's 21 years old and he's been dominant every time you've given him the football. He has NFL size. He's 6 foot, 206 pounds. He ran a 4.41. He did the position drills, unlike a lot of the other receivers. I don't get it. I have no idea. I've talked to Coach Drinkwitz about it. They're like, neither of us can figure it out. So I'm led to believe it's just, I don't know. I don't know if people just have only watched a handful of games from 2024 and that's who they think he is. But I think he's the best receiver in the draft. So if he's there at 31, it's the easiest decision in football.
That's high praise for Matt Miller on Luther Burden right there. And it's hard not to watch those games and realize, man, he is a special talent. But yeah, there's going to be other guys in the mid rounds. Xavier Restrepo, Jack Besh out of TCU. I like Eric Iomaner from Stanford. Love that kid and what he can catch. It's not a first round guy, but a guy you can get. But for the most part, people consider Tetteroa McMillan, which with his size should be the number one receiver. And then it's, you know, a mixed bag. Is it Matthew Golden? Is it Emeka Egbuka? Is it Trey Harris? Is it Matthew Golden, who really shined with 4.29 40 at the combine, played for the Texas Longhorns, but still a tad unproven? I think it's McMillan, and I think it's Luther Burden. I think those are your top two receivers in the draft. I think McMillan's obviously going to go in the top 10. So then it's like, where do you want to take a stab at? Matthew Golden, Luther Burden, Egbuka, which direction you want to go? I can't see the Chiefs going to Ohio State with Egbuka. Although, man, going to have to change that theory with Jeremiah Smith in a few years. We'll keep you updated on the Big 12 tournament when we get back.